2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Pastor read this verse this morning. Thankfully, he didn't spend too much time on it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Seeing Jesus this evening from this book. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are to us. Lord, over these past weeks and months, we've seen Jesus Christ, and Lord, it's our privilege to be able to do that again this evening. So we ask that you would teach us, help us now as we understand. In Jesus' name, amen. A man by the name of Roy Sullivan, he holds a rather undesirable world record, and he's recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the person struck by lightning more recorded times than any other person. He's been struck by lightning seven times in his lifetime. He was a park ranger at Shenandoah National Park, and over the course of his life, he was just, you know, and like a lot of that came with the fact that he was outside a lot and often in inclement weather. But your odds this year are 1 in 500,000 for this year that you'll get struck by lightning. So, I mean, that's not that bad, right? His odds, I'm sure, were a lot worse because of his work. But, I mean, that's not that bad. I mean, we'll take some precautions, right? You're not going to go around running outside with a big metal rod in your hands during a thunderstorm, right? We understand that there's a little risk, so we're like, we'll make some precautions. But, I mean, in everything we do in life, there is some risk involved in that. In fact, the Harvard Medical School, they put out an article that they titled, "Danger Proof Your Walking Routine." Danger Proof Your Walking Routine. And they went through and listed some ways you can make your walking routine, like your daily walk, a little less risky. They said, watch out for your gait and stability problems or issues with that. Like stepping down off a curb or these things are, you know, nowadays probably be ice and snow and those things. All right, be careful because those can be dangerous. If you have hearing impairments, you need to be careful, all right, because that can make you unaware of traffic and sirens and those different things. Distraction from electronics, that can be dangerous if you're not aware of your surroundings and whatever. And then the last thing they said was be careful about vulnerability, right? If you're by yourself, you can get robbed or mugged or these different things, right? And you walk away from that, or you don't walk away from that article. You read that article and go, I'm not walking anymore. You know, that's hazardous to my health, right? There's a lot of things that can go wrong if I just go on a walk, you know, and all those things. I got to wear knee pads and a helmet and shin guards and carry mace, and, you know, just to go walk in my neighborhood. But really, in everything we do, there is some level of risk. And most of the time, we understand that the level of risk is really, it's very low, right? And so we're able to understand that, to live with that, riding in a car, flying in an airplane, and just all of these different things. We accept that there is some risk, and we're able to manage that and take some small steps to deal with that or even lower that level of risk. But then there's also some activities where we go, I'm not going to do that because it's just so inherently risky, right? I'm not going to go diving with sharks. You know, it's not going to do that, right? It seems like there's a really great risk there. People get bitten by sharks, and I don't want that. Or there's another one that's really risky. It's called solo free climbing. So free climbing is like you find a big cliff, right, somewhere out west, and you go, I'm going to climb that, but without a harness. I'm just going to, you know, go for it and do it solo, which means there's nobody else there. Just me out in the mountains living dangerously. I go, I'm not going to do that, right? There's a lot of risk in that one. There's another one. How about running with the bulls? You know, in Pamplona, right, Spain? Like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not going to sign up for that and let those things chase me. It seems rather risky. So there's other activities where we go, I feel like the risk is way too high for any enjoyment I might get out of that or whatever, any thrill. I'm not going to do that. All right, so there's all this risk. But then there was another thing that I read, and it was a survey that somebody surveyed a bunch of doctors last fall, and they said one of the most risky things, risky behaviors for getting COVID, the riskiest behavior was going to a large indoor religious service, concert, or other event with more than 50 people. They said, well, you're going to be a lot of risk for catching COVID if you do one of those things. And really that kind of brings us around to the subject of the message tonight, and we're not going to talk about, it's not a message on COVID, so you can relax about that. But it is a message of risk, and specifically risk for us as Christians, right? How are we to think about the risks that are there in living the Christian life? Because you read through the Bible and you read through the New Testament and you see how Jesus lived, you see in the book of Acts how the apostles lived, and you read the letters that they wrote to these churches, and you go, it's kind of risky to be a Christian, right? There's risk involved in living for the Lord and serving the Lord and doing what God says and going and preaching the gospel and all of these things. How am I supposed to think about that risk? How am I supposed to manage that? Am I supposed to be comfortable with that or uncomfortable with the risk? What am I supposed to do with this way of living, right? Living as a Christian and understanding the risks that are there. And that's what I want us to see as we look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And the answer really is found in who Jesus Christ is for us, how a Christian deals with risk. It's found in Jesus Christ. And so we want to see him tonight. And we need to see Jesus Christ as our keeper. Jesus Christ as our keeper. That's what Paul says in the second part of that verse. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so there's really two principles we can pull from this passage from what Paul says about how we as Christians deal with risk. The first principle is this: Jesus as our keeper eliminates all our real risk. He eliminates our real risk. If he is our keeper, he eliminates the real risk that we have. So Paul says, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Well, what had Paul committed unto him? Himself, right? His life. Paul had committed who he was into the hands of Jesus Christ. And really, when we think about it, you are your most valuable possession, right? You, who you are. And not even your body, really. It's your soul, right? Your soul is your most valuable possession. In Genesis chapter 2, as man was created, as God created man, it says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, and that our soul is our most valuable possession, really for two reasons. One is that it's our soul is the essence of who we are. When many times the Bible used the word soul in the Old Testament, soul or souls, in place of the word person or persons, where we would maybe talk about people or a person. Sometimes the Bible just used the word soul. There's one instance when in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5, where it talks about Abraham taking the people that went with him, but he says that they took all their substance that they had gathered and the souls they had gotten in Haran, right? So it's talking about like the people that they had brought, but it just uses the word souls. And many times theologians will take the idea of the soul and they'll kind of outline it as our mind and our emotion and our will, right? The things that really make us who we are. And your soul, who you are, is the reason why, even if you have kind of a bad hair day, right, or things like that, people still are your friends. You know, they still like you and they're still your friends, even though, you know, you got food in your teeth or something like that, right? You spilled on your shirt and they're like, it's fine, you know, it's you. And there's a song that that Mr. Rogers wrote, right, for his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And, you know, he was great at explaining, like, difficult concepts for little kids. And so he wrote the song it's called It's You I Like. And the song says, it's you I like, not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like, the way you are right now. He says, the way deep down inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. It's you, yourself, it's you I like. And he was really taking the concept of the soul, right? Not the way you do your hair, not your toys, not the things you have, not the way you look. He says, it's not about that. It's about who you are. And I like the phrase, he used the way deep down inside you, right? How would you explain a soul to a four-year-old? That's a pretty good way, right? It's the way deep down inside you, right? It's what makes us who we are. It's the essence of who we are. And that's why it's so valuable, because we change over the course of our lifetime, right? We change how we look and all of these sort of things, but your soul. It's who you are. So it's not, it's valuable because it's the essence of who we are, but it's also, number two, because it's eternal. Because it's eternal, your soul is going to exist forever somewhere. And for us that believe, that know Christ as our Savior, we know it's going to be in heaven, right? We're going to live forever in heaven. In Luke chapter 16, the story is given of the rich man and Lazarus, right? And the rich man ends up in hell, right? He doesn't know Christ. So he ends up in hell. And then we have this description of this rich man in hell. And it's amazing how it's described, because we find that he still has memories. He still has his memories in even in hell. He still has his emotions, his, like, who he is. That's still there, right? Even in the torments of hell, we exist forever. We are eternal creatures. Our soul is going to last forever somewhere. And when we understand that, we understand that this is our most valuable possession. But a lot of times, people don't want to recognize the value of their soul, right? They'll put their greatest value on other things. And I think the reason really is that to admit that we have a soul, right, that is eternal, then you got to admit that there's a God, right? That there's a heaven and there's a hell. You have to really admit that and then kind of consider that and consider what's going to happen to your soul. And so they're like, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather not think about that. But Paul is saying in verse 12, he's saying, I've committed that. I've committed who I am, right? That eternal part of me, I've committed that to Jesus Christ. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that. He says, what I've committed to God, Jesus Christ is able to keep that. He is my keeper, Paul said. He says, it's very interesting. He says, I know whom I have believed. He says, I know him. He says, I'm not committing myself to someone I have no idea about, where it's some leap in the dark and I have no concept. He says, I know who he is. I know my Savior. And then he says, not only that, he says, I'm persuaded that he is able. Paul says, I know the power of the one that I'm giving my soul to, that I'm committing my soul to. He says, I know that he is able. He is the Almighty God who can keep me. And he says, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And Paul was looking around and saying, you know what? No matter what I suffer, no matter what I go through, the persecutions and all that's going to, that has befallen me and all that is going to, all the things that people are going to try to do to me in this life, he says, I know that my soul is committed to my Savior and that there's nothing anybody can do about that. He says, I know this, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And Jesus had said in John chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Paul's going, that's what I know. That's who I know. That's the Savior I have. And Paul says, that's what I'm trusting in, that he's going to do that. What he said he will do, that he is able and going to do that. He says, I've committed my soul into the hands of the person that I trust, in the hands of my Savior. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, Peter says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Peter says, you're going to suffer, and when you do, make sure you've committed your soul to Jesus Christ. And Paul said, listen, I've eliminated any real risk to who I am. He says, because I've committed my soul to my Savior. And Paul said, there's really no real risk for me in this life, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What we have that matters most is safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. What we have that we should value the most is in Jesus Christ's hands. What we have that's going to last the longest is safe in the hands of Jesus Christ. And as believers, we look at that and go, okay, if I know that Jesus Christ is my keeper, then I've eliminated all the real risk to myself, to who I am, to my soul, because Jesus Christ is keeping me. And our salvation is the greatest insurance policy that we could ever take out. It insures us against our sin. It insures us against ourself. It insures us against Satan. It insures us against death. It insures us against hell. We have an insurance policy against all of that. That can't do anything to us, because we are kept, our soul is kept by Jesus Christ. But we have to see that. We have to see Jesus Christ as our keeper. We have to know who we have believed. We have to be persuaded that he is able to keep what we've committed unto him, that he's able to keep that against that day. We have to see Jesus Christ. And when we see him as our keeper, we'll understand that we've eliminated, and he has eliminated, any real risk that we have. But here's the second truth that we get from verse 12. The second truth is this. Jesus as our keeper, then, allows us to live risky. He allows us to live with risk in life and in the Christian life. And so Paul starts the verse this way. Many times we'll just skip to kind of the second part of the verse. But Paul starts it this way. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed," because I'm not ashamed because I know who my keeper is. So Jesus Christ as our keeper allows us to live risky. And Paul chose, right? He chose to suffer in service to Jesus Christ. Paul didn't play it safe. Paul didn't look at an option and go, which one's the safer one for me? Right? Which one am I going to have less risk, right? A less chance of being hurt by someone or persecuted or whatever. And I want us to go to chapter 3 and verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10, here's what Paul told him. He told Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine," chapter 3 and verse 10, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience." And then he says, "persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." He didn't say that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall never suffer any risk of persecution. He said, no, they'll suffer persecution. There's going to be risk there. And in fact, Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. He says in chapter 1 and verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." Paul was in chains at the time he was writing this letter to Timothy. And we look at Paul's life, and having like read the book of Acts and studied this, we understand that Paul lost a lot in service to Jesus Christ. He even said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "But the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Jesus Christ." And we could go through and see how Paul lost his health in serving Jesus Christ. You have to understand that all the beatings that he took, they took a toll on his health, right? The many times he was close to death because he was persecuted. He lost his health. He lost relationships with people because he stood up for what was right. Because he served Jesus Christ. He lost his freedom. He was thrown in jail in many different times because of preaching the gospel. I mean, we could go on and talk about all the things that Paul lost, and he even would look back at all that he had worked for before he was saved and all the accomplishments he had gained and the titles that they gave to him. And he said, "I counted all that as loss." He said, "I put all that behind me." All the hard work that he had put in his past to get where he had been, he says, I'm willing to lose all of that for Jesus Christ. And Paul had this philosophy where he looked at it and said, I'm okay with losing. I'm okay with losing all of this. I'm okay with the risk that's there in preaching the gospel, even if I have to lose my health, my freedom, relationships, all that I've worked for in the past. He said, I'm okay with that. And Paul, really, we look at Paul's life, and from a kind of a secular standpoint, we could say he's kind of a loser, you know? I mean, look at where he was writing to Timothy. He's in jail. He's got nothing, right? He's got no money. He's broke. I assume he's in jail, right? And you go, that's kind of a loser, you know, just the way it is. And Paul looks at it and goes, you know what? In verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he goes, I'm not ashamed. He goes, I've suffered all these things. He goes, I'm not embarrassed about it. He goes, I'm not ashamed for where I am because of what I've done. He says, I'm not ashamed because I know Jesus Christ keeps me. He goes, what's really valuable? And he goes, I know all that I've gained because of Jesus Christ. And I think Paul had come to an understanding. He had come to an understanding about risk and about loss and really about sacrifice and his purpose. And I think Paul had come to this understanding that Christians are losers that just can't lose. Because I think that's what we are, right? We're losers that can't lose because Paul lost a lot, right? And he's sitting in a jail cell writing this, but he goes, all that I've lost and how much of a loser I may look. He goes, yet I really can't lose. He says, because I've committed my soul to Jesus Christ, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And you know, I want us to go to Mark chapter 8, if you'll go with me there. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Here's what Jesus said about us being losers. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35 now. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the Lord looked at his disciples and said, I'm really calling you to lose your life, right? Lose your life in service to me and in service to Jesus Christ and in preaching the gospel. And we would look at that and say that definitely is talking about martyrdom, right, at the very end of that scale. But there's so much more really before that, right? There's losing so much more as we serve Jesus Christ and really being willing to sacrifice and to give up. And he says, let him deny himself in verse 34 and take up his cross. And we've taken that symbol, right? The cross as the symbol for Christianity, and it's a symbol of losing. It's a symbol of the death of our Savior, right? What looked to the world like he had lost, like he had tried to, you know, stand up and make himself king or whatever they believed, and it hadn't worked out. And now all that he had preached and yet he had lost, and it's this symbol of losing, yet to us it's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of not losing. It's a symbol of us winning and our salvation. And we have to approach the Christian life saying, I'm okay losing. I'm okay losing in this life because I know what I've committed to Jesus Christ. And it's this philosophy of life. It's a viewpoint. It's our way of thinking that says, I'm willing to give myself, all of who I am, to Jesus Christ, to the one who gave himself for me. I give him control. I give him my obedience. I give him my will. I give him my plans. I give him my purpose. I'm willing to lose all of that for Jesus Christ. I'm willing to give myself to those around me, and as I serve Christ by serving them, I will sacrifice for other people, and I'm willing to lose out on things that maybe I want to do or plans that I have. I'm willing to lose out on all things for myself for Jesus Christ and in service to other people as God calls me to do that, right? Just a willingness to lose. And we don't like to be called a loser, you know, to be said, well, you're a loser, you know, you've lost, and we don't like that. And really that brings us to the point of we've got to lose our pride as well and be willing to put that behind us and say, I'm willing to humble myself and lose my self-esteem and lose my pride for Jesus Christ. And so we take up Jesus' cross at great risk to ourselves. And you probably heard the story of Jim Elliot, right? And there were four other men, missionaries, who went down to Ecuador to preach to a fierce tribe of Indians. And it's a well-known story. They go down there and they lose their life trying to preach the gospel to this tribe of Indians. And we look at the risk that he endured going into that, knowing that it was a very real possibility that he would lose his life, but God had called him to preach the gospel. We think about David Olson, right, who went to Africa and he lost his health, right? And we just read a missionary prayer letter from him, I think it was Wednesday night, where he talked about getting back to his normal sick self. And he went to Africa knowing that there was a risk there with just that living there, right? And the sicknesses that his body was not used to. And we look at that and go, he endured that risk, and he's endured loss because of that. And we could look at so many other missionary examples, but you know, we have people here who I've heard your testimony of how you've risked for Jesus Christ, where you've risked preaching the gospel to your loved ones, knowing how they're probably going to respond to that, and knowing that it could break a relationship or hurt a relationship. But you say, I got to preach the gospel. It's what Christ has called me to. And so you've been willing to risk that. And you've been willing to risk Standing up for Christ at work, saying, I'm just gonna say what's right at work, and I'm gonna do what's right at work, and risking a promotion, risking, you know, the embarrassment of people pointing at you or making comments behind your back at you. And you said, I'm willing to risk that for Jesus Christ. Or you said, I'll risk my finances in giving or different things. All of us have been there, and we've given testimony to this, saying there's risk in the Christian life. And there have been times where we said, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to live risky. And you know why we can do that? Because we know who keeps us. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ keeps us and he protects us. And we can confidently risk it all for Jesus Christ, because in losing, we really can't lose. In losing all for Jesus Christ, we cannot lose. And we will not lose. There's a catechism that was written in the 1500s, and I don't agree with all of it. So they wrote this for kids to help them learn, and so they do the question and answer format, right? So they'd ask the kids the question, and they were supposed to know this long answer to it. But this catechism, the first question is this. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What's your only comfort in life and in death? And here's the answer the kids were supposed to give, and it's very long. Well, not very long, but it's pretty long. I wouldn't want to help my kids memorize this. Anyways, the answer is, what's your only comfort in life and death? The answer is that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And could I add to that, not only live, but also lose for him. Boy, that's a long answer. Ah, that'd be a good thing for kids to memorize, right? My only comfort in life and death is that I know who I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And it goes on to say, well, now I can wholeheartedly live for him. I can live my life with the risk of the Christian life because I know who Jesus Christ is. Really, we're just a bunch of losers who can't lose. Amen. That's who we are. And when we see Jesus Christ as our keeper, we're going to realize that we can risk it all in this life. Risk it all to live for Jesus Christ. Because when everything is said and done, we will not and we cannot lose. And I want us to go to one more passage, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Because really there's a, as we come down to the end, there's a flip side to this thought though. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. And I think this other side to this is far too common today. Because if we're not a loser, then that means we're a keeper. And according to Scripture, then, if you're not a loser that can't lose, then you're a keeper that can't keep. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, this is the parable of the rich man who brought forth plentifully, right? And he says, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns to hold all that I have, right? To keep it all safe. And the Lord tells him, right? After he dies, the Lord tells him in verse 20, or the night of his death, the Lord says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now that's a keeper who can't keep. And you know, we can try in this life to gather all these things to ourselves and accumulate so much on this earth and try and keep it all from ourselves. And when we get down to the end, we're going to find out that we're just a keeper that really can't keep. We can't keep things. We can't keep the things of this life. And we're going to get there to the end and find out that we've not been able to really gain anything. As hard as we tried to gather things to ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Christian who piles up all these things that, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, they're all just wood, hay, stubble, all those things, they get burned away, and it says that he shall suffer loss. You know, the Christian that really loses is the one who just tries to keep everything for himself, who never risks anything for Christ, but just tries to gain all these things to himself and hoard it all and pile it all up. And then in the end, he finds that it's all gone. In the end, it's all gone. And the Lord's going to look at him and said, well, you've just suffered loss. You haven't gained anything. And it says in Luke chapter 12, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The more we lose for Christ in this life, the more we gain. We don't worry about keeping. Jesus Christ, we trust him with all the keeping. We say, well, I'm going to worry about losing for Jesus Christ, risking for Jesus Christ. I'll let him do the keeping. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on losing for Jesus Christ. Because the Christian life is a risky one. And this week, the Lord's probably going to ask you to risk things for him. He's going to ask you to risk talking to someone about the gospel, or risk standing up for what's right, or risk in giving, or risk in serving, or risk in sacrifice. And in some way, the Lord says, why don't you risk something for me? He says, as I've given my life for you, why don't you give for me? And we go, I don't know about that. And our flesh goes, this seems like you're going to lose a lot. There's a lot to lose in this situation. There's your reputation. There's the things that you have. There's where you've gotten yourself to. And our flesh says, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with losing. I'm not comfortable with this risk. I don't feel like this is safe for us. And then we have to look at Jesus Christ and say, no, I'm safe. I'm safe with Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about losing because I'm in the hands of Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, when we see Jesus Christ as our keeper, then we say, okay, I can go and live risky as a Christian. I can be willing to lose all of this for Jesus Christ because I know who he is. So when we see Jesus Christ, the one to whom we've committed who we are, the one we've committed our soul and our eternity and what is the most valuable thing that we have, we can look around and say, I'll live for the Lord, and I can live risky. I'm okay with that because I know Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the assurance that we have, Lord, that we know that you keep us, Lord, that our soul is safe in your hands. Lord, we thank you for that assurance, but Lord, may it not just stop with that. May we then be willing to go and live for you and to risk everything in service for you. Lord, we pray for your courage. We pray for boldness. We pray for confidence as we live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.